The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Great, Marcus. You know, one day I'll be able to sing, our daughter-in-law sang just a few minutes ago, and one day I'll be able to sing like her, but not with that, you know, lady-like voice, and then one day I'll be able to sing like that. All that's going to take place one day in heaven. Don't miss it. And you'll get to hear me sing in heaven one day. And I'll be excited about that. And that'll be the day when probably Gabriel hangs up his harp and David goes back to weeping. But we'll have a good time together. So now we're in the book of Matthew chapter 2. And we're in verse 10 where the Bible says that they saw the star. Watch it now. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that exceeding great joy, but that's just not joy. That is something above just the regular standard joy. I mean, this is exceeding. This is above measure. This is above normal. This is above common. This is above anything that you could ever begin to compare or to imagine of. And so an exceeding great joy. Well, we understand why. Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Bible says, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so we understand that here these wise men are coming. Now, why are they coming? Because it was noised abroad that there was going to be born the king of the Jews, okay? And so they came. They came from that which is the east to be able to worship him. And then we see that Herod, of course, the king, hearing these things, became distraught. He was troubled inside of his heart. And as he was distraught and troubled inside of his heart, you see that all Jerusalem, if you could also imagine, was also distraught. Then you see, of course, that he summons these men and he says to these wise men, now when you go and you visit this one, you come back and you tell me his location. Well, they being warned of the Holy Ghost did not decide to do that. And the Bible says that they obeyed the Lord. And we understand, of course, the course from there on in. But here, as they do come, as they do see the star, as they do come, and they do rejoice, of course, with exceeding great joy, we understand the reason why. Now, Christmas time is not always joyful. Sometimes people miss their loved ones. It's not always joyful. But Christmas time is a time to be able to bring joy into others' lives. Why? Because we're not focusing on us, but rather we're focusing on the Lord. We're not just focusing on the Lord, but we're also focusing on others. We're trying to help others to see their need of Christ, and we're trying to help others to be able to obey the Lord. Then we also understand this, that a part of Christmas is receiving. A part of Christmas is understanding. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we understand that a part of Christmas is receiving that which is the gospel of Christ. We understand it's important that a person receive Christ. You know, we ran buses today and we had church just like normal, and there was five people, mostly adults, that walked the aisle receiving Christ as Savior. And can I tell you, that's what today is all about. When a person comes to an understanding of their need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, I believe that that is so very important. But then we also understand this, that Jesus, he himself, went about doing that which is good. Listen to it. We're in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, where the Bible says to remember the words, it says, of the Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is more blessed, listen to it now, to give than it is to receive. And so our Lord went about doing good. That's what he did. He just went about doing good. Every place that he could find to be able to do something good, that's what he did. So if he found somebody, no doubt, if he was riding down the road and it was in our day and time and he saw somebody broken down, perhaps a tire had blown out or perhaps the engine had failed, he'd be the first one to stop and say, can I give you a hand? He'd be the first one to stop with somebody that was hungry and try to help them to be able to help with their hunger pains. We understand that our Lord went about doing good all the days of his life. But then he reminds us, as the Bible says right here, very noteworthy, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Bible says to remember that the words of the Lord Jesus, now watch what he says, how that he said, it is more, how that he said. So he said this often. This is not something he just did once and that was it. But he said this often. He said, how that he said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine maybe the disciples are coming up and saying, Lord, why'd you heal that man? And he would say, don't you forget it now. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you imagine all of a sudden him healing someone that's blind? And they say, well, why are you doing that, Lord? And he would come back and he would say, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you imagine as people may come up and criticize that widow, she would throw in the widow's mite, and maybe they would criticize, saying, why is it she would throw in such a disgusting low figure? And he would come back and he would say, now don't you forget it, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, that was his life. His whole life was giving. His whole life was, if you would please, a mirror of God the Father as he gave and as he gave and as he gave. So let me give you some thoughts tonight. Step number one, the joy of knowing that God is for us. The joy of knowing that God is for us. You say, preacher, how is it that you know that God is for us? Because God is with us. You see? And so the Bible says here in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Oh, but the Bible says it is written. It says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And it says, we are accounted as sheep. It says, for the slaughter. So the Bible talks here that he is not going to allow anything to be able to separate us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, the Bible says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all shall separate us from that which is the very love of God. Now, can I tell you tonight, you can thank God that he's for you. And he is for you. How do you know that, preacher? Because he is with us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, but I'm in the darkness of night, but he is the greatness of light. Can I tell you tonight, you don't have to walk through a dark time in your life alone because Jesus Christ will never leave thee. He'll never forsake thee. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with you every single step of the way. And you can have joy in the Christmas season and joy all the day long. Why? Because God is with us. Statement number two, we can have joy simply because we know that we're a part of the family of God. I love my family. I tell you, you know it for sure. I talk about them all the time. And I love my family. I love them to the depths of my heart. But can I tell you, being a part of my family is a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad I've got the kids I've got, the precious wife that I've got, the in-laws that I've got. My in-laws are not outlaws. I'm thankful for that. And but can I tell you, there's nothing like being a part of the family of God. Nothing like being a part of the family of God. If I was not a part of the family of God, I tell you for sure, I wouldn't have the family I have today. And so it's because of the family of God. I love coming to church. Nobody has to make me come to church. Nobody has to tie me down to a pew and make me sit in a pew. Nobody has to say, okay, preacher, you've got to preach. You've got to do it. And there's not a time in my mind or in my soul where I'm thinking, boy, I'd rather not. I just would rather not go to church. I just rather not preach the Bible. No, no, no. This is the calling of God upon my life, and I gladly fulfill it. And it's a joy to be able to do what God would have me to do. Now, can I say, there's the joy of knowing that you belong to the family of God. One day I'll see my mama again. One day I'll see my daddy again. One day I'll see the in-laws that were saved, if you will, the relatives I've got that are saved and the in-laws that are saved as they go on to heaven. One day I'll be able, if my wife precedes me in death, I'll be able to see her or my children. I'll be able to see them or I'll be waiting for them as they come across the shore and be able to see them and I'll be able to run over and embrace them. By the way, I can't wait to get to heaven and see mama again and give her a kiss on the brow. I can't wait to get to heaven and give my daddy a good old-fashioned bear hug again, which he liked so ever much, and that masculine handshake again. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to be able to go over there and and see the loved ones that were instrumental in my life as I was a young preacher. And these would give an impression, and they would lay some things on my heart through the Holy Spirit of God as they would preach with great power and integrity. And as they would mount the pulpit and preach the Word of God, it changed my life forever, and I owe them a great debt. Now, can I say, there's the joy of knowing that you belong to the family of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, it says, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear. He shall appear. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, one day you'll see him face to face. One day I'll see mama face to face again. One day I'll see daddy face to face again. One day I'll see those that are saved that had preceded me in death face to face again. And when I do that, can I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful reunion. I'm saying tonight, there's joy in knowing that God is for us. How do we know he's for us? Because he's with us. There's joy tonight knowing that we can experience being a part of the family of God. There's joy tonight knowing that we have the liberation from fear. Liberation from fear. You know, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I really am. And but God has given me a Holy Ghost boldness. And I tell you, God has allowed me to be able to rise up and be a soul winner and not have the fear of men and not have the fear of circumstances or events. And I thank God for that. You say, why, preacher? Because he's the only one that can do that. Now, by the way, if he's the one that can do it, everybody can do it. He's not somebody, if you will, please, that's just partial to some. No, he said he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in heaven by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So it's not a matter of who the person is. It's a matter of how much the person has yielded. Now, can I tell you tonight, over Luke chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not. How about that? Fear not. He says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, it says, which shall be to all people. He said, there's no reason to fear. And by the way, he said, I'll tell you why not to fear. He said, because I bring great tidings. He said, I've got good things to share. He says, so don't be afraid of that. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the Bible says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Over in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So I understand this tonight. I understand that because I'm a part of the family, I understand tonight that he is with me. I understand tonight that because I'm a part of the family, that I have a sense of belonging. I understand tonight because I'm a part of the family that I can experience that which is a liberality and not to fear. I understand tonight because of the joy that God has given me, and there's joy in these things, that there's the blessedness that comes when I learn to give like he gave. Say, what did he give, preacher? Himself. Himself. No limitations, no stoppage, no reason not to. I believe everybody ought to serve God. Now, you can serve God if you're a lawyer. You can serve God if you're a dentist. You can serve God if you're a plumber. You can serve God if you're an electrician. You can serve God if you work in some lab. You can serve God if you're out there on the field. You can serve God in a grocery mart. You can serve God at a gas station. You can serve God in the neighborhood. You can serve God as a trash collector. You can serve God in a university. You can serve God anywhere you want to serve God. Just make sure you keep him first. You know, sometimes I think that we have a clouded mind. We think that, well, only the preachers can serve God. No, God expects everybody to serve him. That's why you were created, dear beloved friend. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to keep him first. He wants you to keep him first in your job place, and don't be ashamed of him, and hold up the name of Christ, and let people see that you are the one that is close to God, yea, he himself. I'm saying tonight that we can have joy in knowing that he's for us. How do we know that? Because he's with us. We can have joy knowing that we belong to the family of God. We can have joy tonight knowing that we can experience liberation from that which is fear. We can have joy tonight because of the blessings that come as we learn to give, as he so did learn to give. By the way, as we learn to give, it helps our faith. Amen. It helps our faith. Hello. All of a sudden, God lays something on your heart. I gave testimony about some of the people that came to me just a little while ago. And they said, preacher, I want to testify. I told about one man that during the give it all only had $20 in his pocket. God spoke to his heart and said, now you give that $20. And not long after that, God gave him $2,700. Why? He just took a little step of obedience. But listen to me, in his life, that's all he had at the time. That was a big step. Amen. That was a big step. I know another dear brother just called me, and a faithful giver, sacrificial giver, and boy, he is dug down and gave me testimony after testimony after testimony about what God has done in his life, and all of a sudden, he went in, and his boss gave him a $12,000 raise that is starting January. A year, that's $250 or so a week. You say, what is that? That's God. See, sometimes I think we trust him as Savior, but we don't trust him with anything else. If you let God be a part of your life in every single way, hey, he'll never fail you. David said, once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen God's people forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Amen. He'll take care of you. Amen. You say, how do you know? I'll tell you how I know, because he's God. That's how I know. I'm saying tonight that we understand the joy of knowing the blessings that come from those that give. God, as we give our gifts to him, will make sure that he'll stretch our faith. He'll make sure that we'll not find ourselves helpless. He'll make sure that we're encouraged. He'll make sure that we have a friendship. He'll make sure that we know the embracement of his gracious forgiveness. He'll make sure that we understand how to be accepted. He'll make sure that we understand how to have kindness as we go about and we talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying tonight, there's a way to have joy. There's a way to have joy. But let's not leave Christ out. Now, I can preach for another half hour. But I'm going to keep my word. Can I tell you tonight, you take and put Jesus in the center. Put him in the center. And when you go home tonight, maybe talk about how good God's been to you. Maybe talk about how good God has blessed you. Maybe sit around the Christmas tree or sit around the fireplace after you turn your air condition on. Only in Texas, amen. Man, I was driving in tonight and I looked up at that, thermostat. Thermometer, right? Is it called a thermometer? Yeah, because I couldn't adjust the weather. It's not a thermostat. And so, but I looked up at that thermometer, 75 degrees. Y'all are getting ready to head to Indiana, aren't you? I'll pray for you, you poor, miserable person, you. Man, they're going to go up there, and Brother Bradley's going to call me back, and he's going to say, preacher, I shouldn't have made this trip. They're going to freeze. And now, can I tell you, you listen to me tonight. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can have joy. Amen. You can have joy. Isn't it something how Christians walk around and they look miserable? Absolutely miserable. You know, they walk around, well, I guess I'll serve God. It looked like you got a stomachache. They look so miserable. You know, we sing songs of Zion, you know, and I'm so glad that I'm saved and all sorts of stuff like that. Never sing it with a smile. I mean, after all, you don't want to hurt your face. But can I tell you, you can have the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you'll check your Bible out in Galatians chapter 5, you'll see that one of the attributes or one of the characteristics of the Holy Ghost-filled person is that there's joy. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I don't have joy. My question to you, dear beloved friend, is this. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? If you're not, there's a reason you don't have joy. You know, maybe God could get a hold of you if you just let him get a hold of you. You know, I don't think that God created, now I'm going to meddling, but I don't think that God created us to be miserable individuals. Now, I don't know if Debbie was smiling while she was singing. She's probably so nervous that she dropped her bottom teeth. I don't know. But I guarantee you, she probably was. There's a joy there. You know, isn't it neat to be able to hear people sing from the heart? Amen. And there's joy there. Now, can I tell you, you can meet people that you just know that they know something about the Father. You know that they know something about the Savior. Why? Because God has changed them from the inside out. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.